This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris Banky. I'll be your host today. This is part two of an amazing episode that we actually broadcast live right out of Hub Nation Digital. If you're not familiar with that is an incredible conference that we've been putting on here for the last several years. And because of what's going on, we made that conference digital. If you missed that, that means you need to go register for 2021 right now. So we'll put the link in there for you.
Yeah.
But we had an incredible guest, Don Potter, on. And what he was bringing to us was so relevant and powerful to what is happening right now in the world that we wanted to have part two of this. It was just so good. So this is actually part two to that. So if you have not heard that, I needed you to do a couple things. First of all, go over to Eagle Mountain Radio on your Google Play or your Apple Podcast and subscribe for sure. Do that first. Secondly, you need to go listen to or watch, go to the YouTube channel, watch that first episode, because you're going to want to hear the amazing things that Don had to say.
Yes.
And then come back to this one and we'll go into part two. So Becky set us up with this incredible question. And I'd love it, Becky, if you would just re-ask that so that we can kind of launch back in, because I'm really, really eager to hear Don's response to that question. So if you could just set us up, that would be amazing.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is the next. If we as the body of Christ are going to start walking in raising up that watermark level of Christianity, and as believers where God wants to take us, this is a pivotal message to hear. And my question to Don was in reference to the tabernacle being open to all. And what does that mean? What does that look like? And if there's any insight, Don, if you could just launch off and just go for it and share with us the rest of what we all need to prepare for. And also, I think in our hearts and minds, just in the presence of God, surrender to.
Mm-hmm. We were in Revelation 16, and when the seven plagues, which are spoken of in Revelation 17, are finished, when they're completed, the temple of God is open to man. It's not been open to man prior to that. Now, there could be a whole host of arguments on it, but the scriptures say it, so got to be real.
Right.
And what has happened is the great angel comes out from the temple with seven vials of seven plagues that God said he would bring upon the earth. Now, if it is true, and we won't get into this as far as I'm not stating any of this as doctrine in the sense that we need to change our doctrines and stuff, although I do believe we have some that are going to be changed whether we want to or not. And some of that has to do with this virus could be the seventh plague, could be, because we have not seen the end of this. Mm-hmm. It's trying to come back. It's not trying to come back. It's the fear that it generated is really getting a lot of attention with those who want to control the populace. There's a lot of things behind this. And it's also written in scripture as well. So when the temple of God gets opened, we are surrounding that throne now is those who've overcome the mark, the name, and the number of the beast with harps. So the first thing God wants to invest in that temple is those who've overcome. Now, if you can hear this, and I'll try to make a fraction of background on this. The throne of God, of course, is God centered in the center of it, and he's surrounded by 24 elders. We've talked about that before. They are wearing crowns. Turns out that when they say crowns in Scripture, and they describe it in Revelation, That's called crowns of common men. That's not kings. These are crowns of people that won their crowns, and their crowns were made out of vines and oaks, leaves and things of that nature, and then made into gold. And so they wore these because they won these crowns based on nuptial joy. How about that one? Enjoying your wife, enjoying your relationship. That's that. You win a crown in heaven for that, by the way. Military valor, you win a crown for that. That's called total lack of cowardice. That's in, about God's way of teaching us through this. Another way of winning a crown, one of the elders' crowns, is to be valuable to a community. Now, I don't know about you, but that takes that king thing out of it right away. Because there isn't any other king. It's God. End of the sentence is God. And Jesus Christ, his son, is the Lord of lords, King of kings. And that's what they wound up saying after they go through all of this in Revelation. And I'll cut to some of the chase, but they talk about all the horrible things and that the men tried to raise up kings all over the earth. And then the angel said, but Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And it was sort of like, and now the end is on you because that king is rising now. So to answer that question, those that surround the throne, it's common. It's the time that God opens the gates to the, I use the word common men. I make that sound like they're stupid, but they're not. It's what God values in us that we manage to find our way through. This is overcoming that mark that we didn't realize was a part of it. We didn't realize that the mark of the beast, we call it an economic mark. It's, that's probably a very good a description of it, but it's not complete. It's that I will kill or do whatever it takes to get a reputation and a name in my life. And I want to do all of that without God. That's what the beast represents. And then the religion comes and says, I want to make a name, and I want to be big like the world makes people big so that I can be more influential for the kingdom. Except during that transition, I transitioned into the beast rather than into the servant that was, it's Paul. Hey, if I make it through this, I'm going to preach the gospel. If you kill me, hey, I'm with God. So, you know, I don't see a lose in this thing. I'm paraphrasing, of course.
Yeah.
But with the, you know, the process of what we are now facing as believers has to do with, can I lay my life actually down like Scripture says? Because, interesting, when Michael the Archangel knocks Satan out of heaven, it says, because Michael, the archangel, overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony and loving not his life unto death. I thought, the archangel's got to go through that? What do you think? You think we're not going to have to go through that? I mean, at some point. So they're not making little nice cute ideas up that, oh, you love the Lord and, you know, love not your life unto. He means to love not your life unto death. And death means absence of God, by the way. And so if you embrace this life with such fervor that I wouldn't want to let it go, you have just killed yourself. You've just pushed God out of it. That's called death. That's the meaning of that word, is the absence of God, if that makes any sense.
Wow, Don, that's so good. So in regards to the tabernacle, then we're coming into this place where obviously God is the center of that tabernacle. He's the center of all things. He is the priority. He is, and his presence is our priority. And then the harps. Talk a little bit more about the harps and why that, what does that have to do? I mean, I think it would be easy for the worship community to assume, oh, that's just anointed worship. That's what that means. And it may mean that, but talk about what else that may mean as God begins to sort of describe now the temple is open. It begins with this portal, this presence, unlike we've ever, never known, the highway of God in our hearts, unbroken access. And then what happens?
This the harps that the elders have and the harps that now these who've overcome the mark of the beast. I struggled a long time. I think, well, these guys are probably great players on harps, so they had to have been musicians, thought I. But then the Lord began his wonderful process of correcting all that what I thought. And turns out they're carrying bowls of incense, golden bowls, by the way, which create a tone. We've talked about this before, and the bowls create a tone when prayers enter the bowls. So they're holding bowls. They're also holding harps. Didn't talk about them playing the harps.
Wow.
Talks about them holding them. The bowls are evidence of the prayers of the saints. The harps are evidence of the praise of the saints. And wow. So when they begin this process of holding their bowls and holding their harps before God, God sees, I'm being prayed to and I'm being praised. And
wow.
This is the sign of it. And these 24 elders who have won their harps through, won their crowns through normal life, conquering in normal life. Now he's surrounded, and by the way, that's a great number. That is on the sea of glass. That's a big number. And they now have been given harps of God. Now, I've tried to put together guitars before, but to get an instrument that's given to you by God, we're now talking about something very different.
Right.
And so years ago, the father once said to me, he said, do you have an instrument that you only worship with? When you play that, that's all you never do anything except worship me.
Mm.
And I said, I don't know that I have. And he said, I want that. So that whenever I touch that guitar, he knows exactly what's coming. I'm there to worship him. Mm-hmm. I'm there for him. I don't have any other, I'm not going to play jazzy blues. I'm going to be playing for God. And that's as simple as that. Doesn't mean that jazzy blues wouldn't groove him, because I've actually done that for him and he loved it. But what I was getting at is that this, what is coming is that God would like to see as a sign from us that we are moving towards an absolute sold out worship time with him. So I don't pick up my guitar and I don't stand up on the stage and I don't need to beg everybody to like God as a worship leader, nor do I need to coerce you into it or cheerlead you into it.
Yep.
But your heart is so anxious to touch the heart of God that the moment that leader or that musician touches their instrument, they know one thing's going to happen. God is about to be worshiped, and the excitement that should range through the entire body of Christ should be so undeniably powerful that we move into that next stage. That's called dimensional change from here to there, so that he is experiencing full-faced and full heart what we want to say to him. Because we, sing my song, I love you, God, you're great. We can do that. Or I can throw it in the air and say, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
This is who we are.
Yes.
This is why we're breathing. This is why he made us. This is what he intended before time. This is what he was waiting for Adam to do.
Yeah.
And now we are doing it. We're going to be doing it. And I say that, I say this in a way that I believe the leading of everything is not going to be what it was. Nothing is going to be the same. I know now, I try to write worship songs, and the Lord's saying, I've heard a lot of worship songs. Can I hear your heart? Just what's in your heart only. And I'm like, well, but what's in my heart at this moment is not good. And he said, to me, that's worship, because I need you to me. David, 49 times in Psalms, complained, oh, God, where were you? I cried all night on my couch. My enemies are overwhelming. That's called complaints. But he never ended in a complaint. He always ended in how God, I will yet worship you. I will yet rise up from this. And when God hears us say, I will rise up under this, I'm not going to fall under this. I will rise and worship you again until my heart has no place except in yours.
Yes.
And he's like all over this. He thinks he's been told we love him. It's not in the Bible, by the way. David in Psalm 118 said, I love you, Lord. I think I've told you this before. That's the only time that was said in all the scriptures.
Wow.
We're called, we're commanded to love God. And the only guy in all the Bible that said it was David. Come on, guys. Wow. And we didn't write it in a song, a hymn, until 40 years ago when the song, I Love You, Lord, and I Lift My Voice, wow, was written. Now God is hearing that all the time. We think, well, gee, that's odd. I didn't realize that was happening. We hear that all the time now. Or I should say, he hears it. That is what stirred him, and that's what's changed the time.
Wow.
That we're in, because God is hearing, I love you. Think about this for
goodness.
A second. That's changed everything. So he's moved the timeline. He's changed the code, and he's moved the timeline into a different time. And so I know that we are scrambling around because of what's happened with COVID, and we're kicking each other in the teeth and trying to figure out how to work out the details of how we're going to rule the world again. And the Lord is bit by bit pulling that out of our grubby little hands.
Yeah.
And he's not going to allow us to rule the world. And if you can hear this in the best way, I hope, and it sounds somewhat crazy, and you know what, I am all of that crazy, but I'm pretty convinced, and I don't call this doctrine, but I'm pretty convinced that this nation is supposed to be Christ's rod of iron to rule the world. In his hands, with a completely broken nation in his hands, he will rule the world. Not that he couldn't do it any other way, but we were intended to be the people who trust in God.
Wow.
That's his intention for us. Now, that may mess with every bit of doctrine that you have, especially those who feel like we all need to be slapped upside the head. I don't think anyone is denying what we deserve, but I don't think anyone is aware of the amazing mercy and power of God's grace. We forgot that God's grace had power. It's not just a mop to clean up my mess. It's here with power to see to it that grace is abounding when sin is starting to take over. So we know this. I mean, we kind of are aware of it. But, and then the nicest thing I've heard God say in quite a while, and you know how he's not nice, but he said something really fascinating, how to describe it? It all sounds like heresy if I'm not careful all the time, because there's so many things are so different than what we thought they were going to be.
Wow.
At any rate, he's moved through. We can't resist him anymore. That's basically the bottom line. We're not going to be able to resist him anymore.
Wow.
We've successfully resisted him, church included. And that's not going to happen. And he also said this very, very sweetly. He said, I am now unconfusing your language.
Wow.
And I said, oh my God, that's what's wrong, isn't it? We have lived with a confused language. We have had this since the Tower of Babel, thus the concept of Babylon. So God tears Babylon down to the ground and unconfuses our language, that we might become one mind again, but not for the destruction of the earth, but for the blessings of the living God. Amen. I hope that makes sense and doesn't sound too squirrely.
No, I think it does make sense. I mean, I'm still taking it in a little bit, but what I really like about it, and what I think I hear, I think I'm understanding some of the wisdom that you're saying, is God doesn't, if you look through time, and you mentioned, I hope this doesn't sound like heresy, but if you look through history, God changes the way he does things, and we kind of always think it's going to be the same, and it always seems like heresy. And I know that's kind of like that's a little bit scary thing to say too, right? But that's what he's done for the past 5,000 or 6,000 years, if you look at history. And every time he does that, his people get a little bit nervous. But I think it's because we're not listening. And what I hear you saying is, that's no longer an option. It's time for us to be listening and hearing and prepared, you know, for what he is doing right now.
Yeah.
I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are with this too, because it's like so heavy.
It's like that time in Isaiah where God steps up and sort of flexes his muscles and says, is there any God like me? I know not one. He sort of asks us to think on his level and survey all time and the galaxies and everything. And he just stands up as God, the God of all gods, the King of all kings, and all eyes are on him. That's how he's coming. That's what, when the two men stood by him in the book of Acts in white shining apparel and said to the people in Jerusalem standing there that day, see this who Jesus has taken out from you, he shall so come in like manner, that every eye will see him. And there's just times in history where every eye needs to be on the Lord, and he flexes his muscles and says, is there any God like me? It's kind of like when Paul says, I'm out of my mind to talk like this. And he begins to appeal to what God has done in him and puts every eye back on the supremacy of the Lord. I think that is what I'm hearing even while Don's talking right now. All that God's done in us to this point, and even in these last few minutes, you know, these short 10 weeks, is to put our eyes back on the supremacy of God and saying, listen, this is nothing ever, even changing the world, even changing the face of Christianity is nothing that I've ever called you to do apart from seeing me as the King of all kings and the God of all gods. This is a calling that I get to use you as a rod in my hand. Can you imagine that? You are Aaron's rod. You are that priestly ministry, and it's about to bud once again, but as an instrument in God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's good.
Wow.
So, Don, you know, I'm also hearing, as you're speaking, this scripture call to me. And I'm reminded of when the Israelites, when God said to Moses, tell them to gather, and I'm going to meet with them. And I saw this picture. I was visualizing that the glass sea that was rising up to meet with him. And you were referring in the first part to us as that transparency, that transparent one that rises up. Can you just share, you know, my heart and my spirit are hearing that call. And I'm longing to rise up into that place. But if you could take us for a moment, or if you just have anything else you want to share, I want to give you that time. But I'm like, how do I respond? How do I go there? Is what's like coming out.
Good. No, that's very good. Much of what the Father seems to be moving in us is a broken transparency, in the sense of, can I say to God that with which I wouldn't want any human on the earth to ever hear me say or admit to something that I'm so ashamed of myself to actually say it that I dare not? And or worse, I've kept it a secret from the one who actually knows it anyways. But if we can, and we are going to come to this, I'll say this as honestly as I know how, we're not going to be able to resist this. If you have any love for God whatsoever, you will not be able to resist what is actually coming and the power of its draw. He said to me once laughingly, he said, you'll get to heaven if you can stand the pull. And I realized he's pulling us to himself. That's come up here. That's the, I hear your call. It's come up here when he is like, you know, that's not God yelling out the back door to the kids to come home. That's, I'm pulling you with the power of my love to me. And your resistance of it is only going to break your arms. So I just would let it, go ahead and let it go and let yourself be pulled into that beautiful power, and into that beautiful, the grace of God. Praise is going to play a major role in this, but he will, in fact, refine every single person who is going to be involved with it. He will see to it that a refiner's fire, a launderer's soap is on this, or he will not allow it. Because we've been carrying the ark, but we've been carrying it the wrong way. And because of our praise up until this moment, we've gotten away with it. But now the power of man is falling. And we've come out of the church age quite some time ago, and we're into the kingdom age of God. But we have been carrying the king the wrong way. And now God is correcting that. He's going to correct that.
Wow.
It's going to be full of sacrifice. It's going to be full of the type of worship that doesn't mesmerize. I can spend an hour trying to explain how we've been doing that, but we have been mesmerizing the people. We are not singing the song that's indigenous to the land we live on. We're singing that with which is popular and wonderful, and everybody loves it, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we're releasing blessing on the land that that came from instead of the land we live on. We live on, we drink this water, you drink that water, you eat that food, we eat this food. We sing differently back here because we're in a different war than you're in. And you're in one that requires the words that come from the people who live there. So they cry out unto God, and their song is full of life and full of heart and full of desire. In places that things are going nicely, it's a beautiful song and God loves it. What I'm getting at is that we can't lie any longer to the Lord. We can't tell him. And he said it in Amos, you know, I'm not going to listen to your flattering songs of praise anymore. He's not sitting up there angry at us, as I said, although it'll look like he's being irrational, but he's not. He's really moving, and he is telling several people right now what he's doing, and he's beginning to reveal it. He is revealing it. He's been revealing it for some time. He's just not allowing very many to say it, quite honestly.
Wow.
And I'm good with that. I think, whoa, I wouldn't want to be saying that to people. He's saying, well, I don't want you saying it yet anyways. And it always sounds like it's horrible and things are going to be horrible. They're not going to be horrible. Although the pale horse has been riding, and the meaning of it, I may have told you all this, so forgive me. The pale horse of the four horsemen means mildew. The word is mildew. It isn't pale. It's actually mildew. And he spreads a mildewing or a killing disease in everything that isn't of God. Anything that's absent of God will die from the pale horse riding through the midst of it. So if it's a church that's absent of God, that's what's coming.
Wow.
Because the rider's name is death. That means absence of God.
Wow.
So, I mean, we don't have, and all the other horses have been released some time ago. And I think I spoke with you guys about that. And that isn't horrible. That's positive. Everything that they did is positive, but everything they did is happening. It's happening as we speak. And now everything that's not of God, just this plague just rode right through the middle of it. And so few will make it out of this particular time.
So Don,
I'm actually anxious to see that. I don't smell any mildew on you guys, by the way. So just check out.
Man, that is good.
It is good, but you know, it causes our hearts to want to not have that.
Absolutely.
You know, and to allow the Lord to really kill off anything that isn't from him and of him and for him. And so, you know, as much as we don't want that pale rider, you know, at the same time, it's like maybe we need to say, Lord, have your way with that refiner's fire and that soap.
And I don't know about you guys, but I can feel the pool around me. And honestly, sometimes in my own being, just wanting to get back to business as usual. Hey, let's survive this thing. And every time I have those thoughts, the Lord just jumps in and goes, you are not meant to survive this thing.
Yeah, right.
You're not going back. You are not going back.
Right.
And it's sort of like that you know, I've heard it said, it's one thing to take you out of Egypt. It's another thing to take the Egypt out of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's the constant prayer every morning, every day that's on my heart right now.
Come
is
on.
I do not want to go back. Do not let me get stuck back into that rut or go back to Egypt. That's one prayer. And then the second prayer is, do not let me strike the rock. Because I find myself completely unnerved, for lack of a better term, with that tractor beam that is locked on to me and people around me who want to go back to business as usual.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to strike the rock sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, this message today that Dawn's bringing is a clean, purifying, here is the path forward.
Yeah.
Stay on it.
Totally. My honest addition to that, it's funny that you say that, because my prayer coming out of this is, God, don't let me get stuck in the wilderness for as long as the Israelites did. Teach me what I need to know so that my journey can be the time that you allotted. Not that I'll get stuck for 40 years in order to get Egypt out of me.
Yeah.
Let it come now.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, Dawn, there are people that subscribe to this that are all different, all over the world, and in different kind of levels of understanding and learning and all of this. And what you've been talking about today is so relevant, and it's so it's timely, but it's also got this kind of depth to it. It's kind of this depth to it. So I know that there are people that are listening to this, and it's resonating to some degree on different levels.
Yeah.
And they're feeling it. It's ministering to them. But what I would love for you to do, just take a minute or two and kind of give us a high level, how should someone posture themselves for the time that we're in now and that we're headed towards? So that regardless of where they are thinking about the situation clearly, they're approaching it clearly, they're listening clearly. Like, how would you just like kind of summarize this stuff so that people can think about and understand how they should posture themselves for this unprecedented time that we're in?
Yeah. Without much even asking the question, I could easily say, how many people are now struggling with what you thought you had under control in your life? And all of a sudden, the very things you thought are fine. I'm doing good with this. I'm not, you know, bad-mouthing people all day long, or I'm not falling into any of my addictions and so on and so forth. And they're right back facing us. I mean, I'm sure I don't even have to ask that, because I know that's what's happening all over the body. That's the part of the transparency that none of us are crazy about looking at, but that's a part of the thing. So one of the words for worship in Scripture is the word yada, Y-A-D-A-H. That's a Hebrew word, one of the seven. There's more, but one of the dominant seven. And that word means to confess God. Now, that has more to do with, I recognize who I actually am, and then I get as best a recognition as I can of who he is, and the difference causes me to fall on my face and worship him. And that's what we're now, what's happening to us as we speak, is the difference between God and man is beginning to become reality.
Yes.
And the only response that we can do is, oh my God.
Yeah.
Let me worship that amazing God. And we have to remember, and I have so much on that subject, but the reality of it is, Mary's response to God is the right response. Yes, she was a prostitute. Yes, she's a you know, what we would call a horrible person. But she didn't, she said, hey, if I'm here because of who I am, then I'm in the wrong place. I'm here because of who he is.
So good.
And I'm on my face because of who he is, not where I've been. And that's what God is pulling out now from us who have lived under this stunning shame of, I mess up. Yes, I mess up. And sin is now bigger than God, and sin is bigger than grace or bigger than the cross and all these things. It's absolutely not true. And we must stop condemning others and worse, condemning ourselves for something that God long since forgave through the blood of his son. But it doesn't mean I shouldn't be recognizing who I am and who he is.
Yes.
That recognition can come subtly and very beautifully, but it has to remain as a constant in our lives, that I'm never confused. God is absolutely God, and I live to worship that name. Mm. Now, we want a strategy about future and about you guys, but well, I'm looking for a strategy here, God. I'm looking for a way to make it through. And he said, worship me, face on me, face me, worship me, and there's nothing else that can happen. None of this. If I explained really deeply, and it would take another hour to do it, where we are in Revelation at this point in time, where we are so far into the end times, it's frightening, but we barely noticed it. Why? Because God has seen to it that we don't barely notice how deep into the end times we really are. We've been covered this well, this long. I would call that worthy of some worship all by itself.
Wow.
And so now the process of worship will not be because we think God is good and I'm trying to get him to do something for me, but because I actually recognize who he is versus who I am. And that worship will come forth with brokenness, which is exactly David. It's back to square one in truth.
Wow.
That's a, I use that word as a, I don't know how to describe it any better than I haven't been asking God for anything in quite a while. He said, if you come to be with me, I'll take care of the rest of your life. Just come to be with me. And so that's what we do. I just go be with him. And doesn't he take care of everything? Have I had sickness? Yes, I have been terribly sick at times. Mm-hmm. But I get with God and lay down on the couch and I get up and I'm not sick anymore. Wow. And so, and he's done it hundreds of times. And so I know that this is what this is about. I've loved you. Oh, you look so young. Actually, I've just been on the couch with God.
So good.
I lay down. I praise him for a long time, and then I lay down. When I get up, all the issues that are in that are against me are not anymore. They're just not. Now, that seems like we're not doing anything. Well, it may be time for us to stop doing, because we've not gotten very far with what we've been doing thus far.
Boy, that's so true. That's true. Dawn, your perspective is so, it's just powerful. And it's really refreshing. And it's, you know, in some ways it's exciting. In some ways it's a little bit scary, right? Like it's a little bit from an introspective, you know, perspective, you know, it's not all perfect, you know, you're making me kind of look at myself, which is really good, but it's not always the most pleasant thing.
Yeah, that's
right?
That open portal.
It's that open portal. Yeah. So, but thank you for that, because it's what's needed.
Yes.
And it's just really, it's just so good. So I just want to say how much we appreciate this, all of us here, but also just the people that are listening. I mean, I just know, like, when you hear this podcast, it ministers. So thank you for that. I did want to talk about something briefly that I'm pretty excited about, which is a conference that we're putting on in September of this year that you're going to you know, be here with us. And I don't know, Bobby, maybe you could and Becky could speak a little bit to what's coming up, this conference.
It's called the Imagine Conference. And again, we're just, when God says, let us make man in his image, the Hebrew actually means I'm about to do something that only I could imagine.
Wow.
And so what was his original intent?
Yeah.
And so I'm excited for that. I'm excited for the new as well. And so it begins by hosting the presence. It begins by prioritizing presence. And as exactly what
the couch time, right? That's what Don just said.
Yes.
It's the couch time with God. We're going to have a full couch time with God. This is like,
and
imagine what can happen when we have a couch time with God all together.
Imagine what happens when we operate out of the presence, when we prioritize presence. Imagine what's released not only in our regions, but over the planet. And so, yes, that's September 10th through 12th 2020. We'll have Donna Christine. We'll have others. Josh Baldwin is going to be with us from Bethel Music as well. He's originated from Morningstar and maybe even somewhere else before that, but that's where I first heard of him. And I think Don's had a hand in that too. And so it'll be sort of a family reunion there. And we've got some other speakers coming and worship leaders
and,
too.
And speakers, guys, everything is different. So this is not going to look like anything that maybe you have been a part of before.
It's not going to look like the lecture hall when we say
this is seriously a couch time collectively with God. And if he
bring your own couch,
I know. Well, yes, we will have, I mean, we can make them into couches.
Yeah.
But this is an opportunity to just really, have our prayers and praise come into that open temple.
Wow.
That Don's describing. I mean, that's our hope. That's our desire,
yeah,
is that we would create a place where God says, I want to be with you there.
Mm.
And we don't have any expectation of what it's really going to look like. We have no expectation of what is going to happen, except that we're coming and we're just going to come with open hearts.
Wow.
To meet with God and just have our ears open and our eyes looking to him. So we isn't that good?
Great. It's great. I'm all about that. I mean, be happy, happy, happy. I like couches everywhere. I think we would make incredible strides forward in the kingdom,
yeah,
by merely laying in the arms of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So join us as we just go there with God and just have that time.
Yeah.
You know, it's he set it up for this moment. I mean, we really felt at the beginning of the year that this was a priority. And even in that priority, we actually said, we have no idea what this is going to look like. We just know that we need to come into the presence of God together be, you know, ready.
And that was pre-COVID, right?
This was pre-COVID.
Yeah, this is January. We talked about this in January. And so here we are now with all these things that have unfolded, and it's all the more, a resounding yes. This is the time.
Yeah, it's that 1 Samuel 19, Naoth Ramah. There's that unbroken access, that portal into heaven. Mm. Everything begins with prioritizing his presence.
Wow.
Yeah, so lots of tissue boxes as we become transparent.
Yes, on the sea of glass. Wasn't that just a brand new meaning of transparency?
Wow. Oh, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, so that is going to be kind of I think it'll be a new kind of experience. So if you're listening to this or watching this, we'll put that information where you can learn more about that. But you definitely want to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
If you have gotten all the way to the end of this and you did not listen to episode one, it's not too late. Go back,
yes,
listen to episode one, maybe listen to this one again.
Yes.
I know I'm going to.
Yes.
So definitely do that. Yes. Subscribe to the podcast. We're going to put all the information to find Don and his amazing work that he's doing. That'll all be in the show notes as well. So definitely look at that. But Don, thank you so much for spending this time with us today. This has been far above my expectation. It's been really powerful, actually. And
thank
I know that the people that are listening to this, it's been powerful for them as well.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for, always being on Eagle Mountain Radio and making these interactions with these incredible guests so dynamic and powerful. Yeah. So it's been awesome. Don, thank you again. We're looking forward to seeing you more and connecting
and Chris,
with you. Yes.
Hold on real quick.
Okay.
I just want to say, for those of you who are listening or watching, you know, what Don has given his life to and his wife, Christine, they both have given their life to, has been a tremendous resource and foundational component of who I am, who Bobby is, who we are as a tribe, and it has impacted our community, and it has impacted our land. And so I just want to encourage you. They have some incredible resources.
Yeah.
Go and get them and let those resources become a part of your foundation as you begin to walk out with God into your next. This is truly, it is a part of us that if I did not have what they have poured out to us, I would not be where I am today. And I would be missing so much. And so please go to their website. Please check out their resources and start Absolutely. To get equipped. This is pivotal for this time and in the days that we live.
Yeah.
So Dawn, thanks Absolutely. To you and Christine for being yes. an amazing father and yes. mother
yeah.
to us and to the body of Christ.
Yes.
We continue to pray blessings over you and yes. and his perfect health. But provision from on high and just sweet, sweet moments in his presence in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. As well, the bend in the road that you live in is a real serious place of turning. That's why the Lord has put you in bend, because yeah. you're in a place of turning.
Wow.
Yes.
And coming. Now it's there.
Yes, yeah. God. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.